The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 27 in our Revelation series. This message is called The Fall of Babylon. We will read several verses from Revelation chapter 18. Let's read Revelation 18, verse 1 to 3, then Revelation 18, verse 9 to 14, and finally Revelation 18, verse 21 to 24. Let's start then with Revelation 18, verse 1 to 3. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, for she has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." And now over in verse 9, we'll read verse 9 to 14. "When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power! In 1 hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.'" And then we look over in Revelation 18, verse 21. "Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, 'With such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been killed on the earth.'" This we could call the fall of Babylon. There are two cities in history and here in the book of Revelation. We could have called the book of Revelation the tale of two cities. It is about the city of Jerusalem or Zion and it is about the city of Babylon. The mystical two cities represent the two spiritual camps that will come to their final battles at the end of the age. Zion represents the city of God, the entire government of God. Included in this city of Zion is God, the judge of all, Jesus, angels, archangels, seraphim and cherubim, and all of the people of God from generations past even up to this present day. And Babylon is the composite of all that is evil. The entire government of darkness is involved in the city of Babylon. This includes Satan, the beast or the Antichrist, the false prophet, the great prostitute who we just saw find her judgment and she was destroyed, all of the fallen angels and all of the demons and all of the wicked people of the earth who are workers of iniquity and whom the Bible calls the lawless ones. Revelation 18 reveals the fall of this government structure of darkness. It is about the fall of Babylon. Given this announcement is given in triplicate here in this throughout this chapter. Each part proclaims the fall of Babylon. Babylon's queen will be the first to fall, and then all involved in Babylon, right, including to the devil himself, will fall after her. The first voice to make this announcement will justify Babylon's judgments. His words will be brief but very powerful. The second voice will give a more detailed announcement. That voice will report the extent of Babylon's fall and the effects it will have on the world's economy. He will also describe the response of her people when they realize that Babylon is no more. There's no more commerce. We will hear their cries. The third voice will dramatize this prophecy of the fall of Babylon with an object lesson. A great millstone will be cast into the sea, and a loud proclamation alongside of it that says, just like this rock being cast into the sea, so Babylon will surely fall. It starts off with a mighty angel who tells the world that permanent change has come. Praise God. As the angel descends from heaven, his splendor, it says, will light up the planet. The angels who brought the message of Christ's birth to the shepherds on the hillside many years ago, we read about them in Luke chapter 2, verse 9, those angels lit up the whole world. But this angel, of course, is coming with a different message. They spoke of peace, but he will speak of judgment. When the time comes, this angel will not herald a prophecy of future events. He will give an announcement of what has just taken place. Never before has anyone reported the ruin of Babylon. This is monumental. He will shout the message so that all can hear. It says there in chapter 18, verse 2, with a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." It'll be like a news report that'll be heralded throughout the universe and throughout the world. Let me give you seven headlines for this news report. Number one, Babylon has fallen. Number two, it is a home of evil spirits. Number three, it is a place for every unclean bird. Number four, Babylon is adulterous. Number five, all nations were drunk with the wine of her adulteries. Number six, the kings of the earth and its rulers have committed adultery with her. Number seven, the merchants of the earth have grown rich because of her excesses. Here are the accusations that this chapter brings against Babylon. One, the demons were guilty because they partner with Babylon's schemes. Two, the demons are guilty because they seduce and beguile mankind with all kinds of perversions. Number three, the nations are guilty because they drunk the wine that was offered to them, the wine of Babylon. In other words, they embraced the evil. Number four, the kings are guilty because they fail to lead the nations with righteousness. Instead, they commit adultery and indulge in the sins of Babylon. And the fifth reason for her guilt is the merchants are guilty because they employ the methods of Babylon. They sell vile things in vile ways. It even mentions the sale of human beings. It is the ill-gotten gain, the corruption, the greed the world is rocking with. Babylon the Great is like the safe house for darkness on the planet. All evils and abominations will have come from this city. Multitudes of people have been corrupted, abused, murdered because of the adulteries of Babylon. Innocent children, good people, have been ravaged because of Babylon. The malaise of Babylon requires justice, and it will not be left unanswered. Justice is required. Number one, the gross darkness of demonic filth must be removed from the earth. Number two, the demonic embrace on humanity must come to an end. Number three, men of good intention deserve a world of righteousness and peace and joy. Number four, the anti-God and antichrist spirits must be removed from the earth. Number five, the saints require justice for all of their pain throughout the centuries. And number six, heaven's angels need to see the justice. Number seven, Jesus deserves the full rewards for which he died on the cross for. And number eight, the Almighty requires that all things be made right, and he will not ignore this matter of justice. He waits to inherit the good of the earth, so Babylon will fall. Billions of people have suffered for far too long. In fact, we could say that every single man and woman on the planet has been hindered or victimized at some level because of the evils of Babylon. The human race has faced this enemy long enough. They have been robbed. They have been killed. They have lost their blessings. But now is the time. Babylon is about to go. If humankind had refused her evil way back in the beginning, she would have had no place on the earth. But people embraced the sins, embraced the spirit of Babylon, and gave her legal right and permission to perpetuate her wickedness. And as technology has advanced, the ways of evil men and women spread more quickly. Their sins increased, more people fell into darkness. Some people will have escaped the entrapments of Babylon because they walked with God, but millions have been ruined, interfered with, and suffered excessive loss. Most of them, perhaps, will find the grace of God and be rescued in the end, but Babylon is waiting to be judged. The first stage of the kingdom of God coming and the ruin of Babylon happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came on the planet and he said, the kingdom of God is among you. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been growing. The second stage of God's kingdom coming in great power will return to the earth when Jesus comes again. And he will set up his kingdom, his millennial reign. The third and final stage of his kingdom will come at the very end of the thousand-year reign. That is when Satan will be cast into hell and the final dregs of sin will be removed, and we will reign with God Almighty and the Lamb for all eternity. Besides demons, Babylon includes earthly kings, merchants, and all the people who oppose God. The leading lady of the city, that great prostitute, by this time will have already been destroyed. We read in Revelation 18, verse 10, 16, and 19, woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power, in 1 hour your doom has come. Three times we read that the people of the earth will stand back and watch. There will be kings, merchants, and shippers, and each of them will witness the chaos through their own eyes. It will be as if they're having a nightmare or a dream. And all who travel by ships and all who earn their living on the earth will cry out and say, how can it be that this great city has fallen? In Revelation 18, verse 4, the Lord Jesus will speak. We know this because it starts off, then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out from her, my people. Do not be involved with her sins. Before the third angel speaks, he will perform a violent act. He will pick up a massive boulder and throw it into the sea. I expect that it will be in the Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't say that, but I think that all the eyes of the world at this time will be focused on Israel. And if one were to choose a large body of water for this purpose, I think waters along the shores of Israel would be very fitting. At any rate, this angel picks up a huge rock, and with great emotion, he will release it with holy rage and pent-up indignation. The angel will come like an explosion of fire from the throne room of heaven. And Babylon will see that this is kind of like the exclamation mark at the end of the sentence. The Bible talks about the demons. In James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, you believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And then, this is what we read. It says that the music will never be performed in this ungodly realm called Babylon again. Trade workers will never work again under this evil regime. Machines for manufacturing will never serve Satan's plans again. Even a lamp or a light will never shine in any room where Satan or his demons function. And there will never be an evil couple coming together in marriage. Marriage will never be celebrated in Babylon again. In other words, Babylon will be totally finished, not for a season, but for eternity. Her judgments will be final. The people of Babylon will have enjoyed life's pleasures, but all that is left now is punishment. Babylon will be judged for high treason, for crimes against humanity, and rebellion against Almighty God. The angel will conclude his announcement with three statements. He will say, the merchants of Babylon were the world's great men. You think of the people in this world whom the world thinks are great men. Now, if they're talking about Billy Graham, he's a great man, but he is in the kingdom of heaven. But there are many people in this world who are seen to be great men who are not like Billy Graham, but they're full of evil and corruption. And the scripture says that the merchants of Babylon used to be known as the world's great men. Then it says Babylon led the whole world astray through her magic spells. And thirdly, Babylon is responsible for the death of God's prophets and for every godly and innocent person who has been killed on the earth. I love what it says in Isaiah 24. Let me read to you the first 13 verses. It says, "See, the Lord is going to lay waste to the earth and devastate it." This is Isaiah 24, verse 1. "See, the Lord is going to lay waste to the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for priests as for people, for masters as for servants, for mistress as for maid, for seller as for buyer, for borrower as for lender, for debtor as for creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers." Languishes and withers. "The exalted of the earth languish. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. The new wine dries up, and the vine withers. All the merrymakers groan. The gaiety of the tambourines are stilled. The noise of the revelers has stopped. The joyful harp is silent. No longer do they drink wine with a song. The beer is bitter to its drinkers. The ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. In the streets they cry out for wine. All joy turns to gloom. All gaiety is banished from the earth. The city is left in ruins. Its gate is battered to pieces. So will it be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest." We read more. In Isaiah 24 and verse 18, it says, "The floodgates of the heavens are opened. The foundations of the earth shake. The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. The earth is thoroughly shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls, never to rise again. In that day, the Lord will punish the powers of heaven above and the kings on the earth below. They will be herded together like prisoners bound in a dungeon. They will be shut up in prison and be punished after many days. The moon will be abashed, the sun ashamed. For the Lord Almighty will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before its elders gloriously." The scripture makes it so very powerful that this tribulation is coming. This judgment is coming. Recently, as we have looked at these preliminaries to the presidential election, I have seen a lot of accusation against some who are running for a place on the presidential ticket who have a real faith in God. And those news anchors and talk show hosts have ridiculed those people and said they even believe in the literal definition of the Bible. And they even believe that there is a tribulation coming and that the book of Revelation will actually take place. It's not just the book of Revelation. I've just read to you out of the book of Isaiah. But we could go to Daniel. We could go to New Testament scriptures like 2 Thessalonians. We could go to the Gospels where Jesus talks about the end of the age. It is coming. There is a pent-up judgment in the heavens that has to fall upon the earth. For too long, the people of the earth have walked with God, have prayed, but they have not seen their prayers answered. The devil has been roaming around the earth, seeking whom he may devour. During all of this time, God has been calling people to himself. And now for these 7 years of the great tribulation, there has been judgments coming and then all of a sudden stopping. And then there has been a call out to the people on the earth for them to come to salvation. For the Lord is patient, not wanting that any should perish. But these people have resisted and resisted again and again. Although many during that time did actually come to the Lord. Multitudes are saved during this great tribulation. I actually believe that there will be billions of people who get saved during the great tribulation. Many will come in just at the end, just when they are about to die, just when the problems are coming and crashing down around them. But they will finally humble their hearts. As a minister, I have gone to the bedside of so many senior citizens who are about to die. Their skin is yellow from jaundice, and their kidneys are failing. Many of them have had a stroke on some part of their body. Many of these people who are in the hospital have been people who mocked the church. Their sons and daughters got saved and came to our church, but they just persecuted them with slander, making fun of them and mocking them and ridiculing them. And no matter what their sons or daughters said to them, they would not turn their hearts to Christ. But now on their deathbed, over and over again, their son or daughter who was part of our church would ask me to go and visit them. And I knew that the time was short. In many cases, I was going to visit people who would not live to see the next sunrise. And I would go into the hospital room. I remember in one case, I said, "John, I've come here for one reason, and that's to make sure you get to heaven. It's time that you and I prayed and that you gave your life to Jesus. Are you ready for that?" With tears in his eyes and a quivering lip and a weak hand that he could hardly lift, John said, "Oh, yes, please." I can remember one man who was so defiant all of his years, and I was called to his hospital bed, and he was already in some kind of comatose state. He had tubes coming all out of his body, and he was curled up in a ball, breathing really heavily, and he couldn't talk anymore, and he didn't respond to anybody. And the nurses said he will probably die within the next hour or two. His wife was there, and all of the aunts and uncles of my friend who was a member of the church were there, standing around. None of them knew the Lord. And I walked into the room, and I said to this man's wife, Mary, I said, "Mary, I've come to pray for your husband. Your son has asked me to come." And she had tears as she watched her husband in such condition. And she just said, "Yes, please." And I went and I took his hand. And he didn't look at me. He was just lying on his side, just breathing heavily. And I said, Tony, I've come here to lead you to Christ. I know you cannot talk, but I believe your spirit can hear me as I speak. And right now, as I hold your hand, I'm going to lead you through a prayer of salvation. If you can hear me in your heart, squeeze my hand. All of a sudden, my hand is squeezed. And I said, I'm going to say a prayer. I know you can't talk, but if you can say these things in your heart, then continue to squeeze my hand. All of a sudden, he was squeezing my hand like he was pumping up a ball or something. And I said, Heavenly Father, Tony and I come to you in the name of Jesus. Tony was squeezing my hand over and over again. I said, Tony, ask now that you forgive him of his sins. His hand was moving very quickly, and that you'd wash him from every bit of rebellion. And this day, come into his life and give him salvation. Tony's hand didn't stop. And Lord, we give you thanks now. And we thank you that you're going to welcome Tony into your presence. And with that, I ended the prayer. I looked at Mary and I said, Mary, your husband will be in heaven before the day is out. I went and told his son that I prayed with him. I told him what happened. He cried. I said, you will see him in heaven. It's amazing to me how much mercy that God has, even to people who rebel all of their life and are so stubborn. But there in the moment of crisis, when their life is falling to pieces, the mercy of God is still extended to them. I've seen it again and again and again. I have never been at somebody's bedside who did not receive the Lord Jesus. On that day, when the world collapses, through 7 years, there will be so many people who will give their lives to Jesus. The time of the great tribulation is about the harvest of the earth, because it will be made ripe. Those who reject even that will find their place in hell. But Babylon will certainly fall. I say to all of you listening to this message, be sure that you are in the right city. Make sure that you are standing with the Lord Jesus in the city of the New Jerusalem, and you are part of that kingdom and not part of the kingdom of Babylon. For no matter what you think or what you would like to do, the kingdom of Babylon is doomed. It will fail and it will fall.